that night was the end of Cherry Rock, which is they do like a yearly festival.
Right, yeah.
And Cherry Rock was like this weekend.
Okay.
So like in they closed an AC/DC lane and they have like a whole bunch of bands playing.
Yep.
So we rocked up like an hour after the festival finished and it was just a bar. So it was all tinnies, all premixes.
Sounds horrific.
So I started drinking JD and Coke premixes.
Oh God.
So you can imagine how I was feeling the next day, like superb. The next day, like, I was like, all right, I need to be in the airport in 3 hours. Huxleyburger opens in an hour.
Yeah.
I can get a, like, a grease injection and get on the flight. So then I start walking, you know, walking through Melbourne trying to go to Huxleyburger, and I run into Brad Flowers.
Oh, of course you do.
And Brad Flowers is with his family, and Brad Flowers looks at me, grabs his daughter and says to his daughter, look at Uncle Liam. Doesn't he look like shit? So it's that point where when Brad Flowers says he looked like shit, you know it's time to go home because you've drunk way too much.
Sessionable. So I guess today's episode was kind of like spurned by a Twitter exchange between a few people saying, you know, arguing over what the best double IPA in Australia was. So we decided to do a blind tasting of a few different.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit nervous about this because, like, I haven't really been drinking a lot of these double IPAs lately, so I'm going to get shot down in flames,
that's good.
I think.
No, that's good. I have been drinking a fair few of them over the last few weeks.
I'm not surprised. Yeah,
so have I.
But no, I think it's a great idea. Australia's seems to be going through a bit of a double IPA boom at the moment. There's been some amazing stuff coming out over the last few
weeks.
So
shall we talk about which beers we've actually got?
Well,
yeah, so we know what's coming, but we don't know in which order they're coming.
We should probably also say where we are.
Yeah, so
we're not in our usual lush studios.
Noise isolated studios with supreme audio.
<That's right. laughs> Like the last episode.
we figured, you know, in our quest for like some half decent audio quality, we'll just sit in the beer garden out in the back of a pub and see what happens.
Yeah, so big shout out to a bit of you for letting us record at their back area. So yeah, we have been served our first beer blind.
So yeah, should we run through what beers we've got today?
Yeah, so we have the Millennium Falcon, the recent released Millennium Falcon. I think it's the third version of that beer.
From Holgate?
From Holgate, yep. We've so it's the current release. It just came out 5 days ago, less than.
Yep. Doing all the rounds in the country's top beer venues right now.
We've got Riverside 777, which came in the top 10 of the best beers of Australia.
It should be noted that this is, I think, the first release of 777 post-Padden. Also, we've got the Imperial Winston, just to tie over from last episode. I was going to say last week's, but it was like last year's episode.
That came out recently, right? About 2-3 months ago now.
Yeah, well, that was the Craft Beer Rising.
I can tell you when it was. It was the last week of February.
Yeah, Craft Beer Rising, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So we're all going to recognize that one straight away, right?
Ah, well, yeah. Right? I don't know. I've just got a whiff of this first one, and I think I know what it is.
There's a fourth one, actually. So
snap, yeah.
I've got some Bridge Road Bling Bling as well.
Okay.
Just to make things interesting.
So we've got no idea what's coming out in what order.
Indeed.
Our garçon has promised us that he's giving us the same beers.
Yep.
So it's not being
so
a
no
dick.
Dirty tricks.
Yeah. Colour's not going to help us because it's like pitch black outside.
It's
we're sitting back the beer garden
it's
with
pretty
some fairy
twilight
lights.
Out here.
Yeah. But in saying that, I think they're all going to be pretty much the same, very similar in colour.
Mm.
Yep.
With their malt bill.
I think one thing that we might pick up on is the age of some of the beers.
Yeah, so, I'm going to say freshness is going to be a big component in this.
Yeah. So I suspect 777 and Holgate being brewed in the last few weeks or bottled in the last few weeks are going to be pretty fresh.
Yep.
And
Winston not too far behind.
The Winston wouldn't be too far behind. This beer, I think, is the Bling 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 because pretty old.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because that's what I was thinking too.
I'm getting a lot of toffee and caramel
which
coming
is still
out. It's not a lot of hot presence.
Yeah, it's still pretty nice, but it's definitely not a fresh.
There is a hopper on the nose, but it's getting it's a bit not oxidized, but it's a bit old.
I always get a bit of toffee on the bling bling. I don't know if it's just me that always gets that, or whether I always seem to have ones that aren't super fresh.
Is this even when fresh?
But Bling Bling, yeah, did the rounds on Tapper not long ago, was it? Just before Christmas, perhaps?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and even then I was getting some of the more multi-end. So that's yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been my guess. There is a hot backbone to that, but yeah, I'm going to pick this as being Bling Bling straight up.
So really, this one's the kind of the old school beer of the lot. This one's been around for some time, right?
Yeah, I think it came out just before the first batch of Millennium Falcon, maybe like
that'd be about before. Right. Yeah, they'll be pretty even between the two of them. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think you're right. It did come out first out of all of them.
Yeah, it definitely would be first. Yeah, no, I'm going to say, because I remember I was still using Untappd when this first came out.
Must have been a while ago then.
Yeah.
The bad old days.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say this is pretty old. Not this particular batch, but this beer's been out for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But saying that, this one's not tasting super, super fresh.
Yep. It's good. It's good, though.
Yeah,
I like it. Holding up.
Some good orangey, tangerine-y type flavors coming through.
Yeah, apricots.
Yeah.
Yeah, like dried apricots. But yeah.
I wouldn't disagree with either of those.
Yeah. I'm digging it, though, man. Tasting good.
Do you guys prefer the Bling Bling to the single Bling?
I haven't had the single Bling in a while, so I can't really say.
I remember the Bling Bling being very malt-driven compared to the Bling the First. But
Bling the First.
Yeah.
Bling the First.
But this is tasting good, man. It is, yeah, it's not super fresh, but still holding up pretty well.
Yeah. All right, so while we drink this, how about we
go through some
recent news, recent releases, things like that.
I don't know if you guys have cracked it yet, but you see they re-released the Dreadnought, the little creature small batch.
I tasted it the other day.
Yeah, Return of the Dread.
Return of the Dread. Yeah, I think it's like a solid export stout.
Yeah.
Like, it does what it does. Like, it does what it's meant to do.
For a main release beer that comes in a 4-pack, I think it's pretty solid, man.
I mean, like, you know, it's for little creatures, it's pretty kind of, you know, unique for them because they only have like a pale ale and an IPA.
Well, this is the first sort of like hint towards a small batch since Lion Nathan's taken over Little Creatures.
Yeah, yeah, true.
They haven't released anything since. So, I mean, they're dipping back into the well a little bit, but yeah. It was a pretty popular beer at the time.
I mean, I remember it being quite similar. So,
what sort of weight does it come in at? How big is it?
I think it's
not super heavy.
7 or
something
like that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 7.2, I think.
Did you ever get to try the first
Dreadnought? No, I've never had it.
Dreadnought?
Yeah. I didn't even know it would come back around again, so yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Were you around in Australia for any of the small batches?
I think I had one.
Shepherd's Delight or something like that?
Yes. I think I may have had another one as well on top of that.
Yeah.
I didn't get the stout.
Which one was the double IPA?
The Dipper.
Yeah, the Big Dipper. Yeah, that was awesome.
I didn't get that one.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. That was probably my favorite of the small release ones.
And there was a Brown Owl, I think. That was pretty tasty.
I think that was the other one I got. I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, that seems to ring a bell.
So what are they calling it now? Are they calling it
Return of the Dread?
So, but they're calling this line like single batch, or no? It's not single batch anymore, is it?
I think it's just called the Return of the Dread.
It's just seasonal.
330 mils in a 4-pack.
Okay.
Yeah. So sort of in line with the with the IPA.
With the regular branding, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Have they said about how available it might be then? Is it a bottle release or?
I've only seen it in the bottle. I'm going to say there's probably some kegs around.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's coming through Lion Nathan, so anyone with an account with Lion Nathan can put an order through. So it's not. So it's pretty widespread release. It's a matter of who's choosing to take it. But it's pretty out there.
Of Little Creatures got a stand at Gabs?
It would not surprise me.
I was looking at the stands the other day. Well, they're a pretty major sponsor, so I would say yes, they do have a stand.
It's quite possible we might be able to get some actually at the festival then.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I know James Squires has a stand, so I'm pretty sure that Little Creatures would as well.
So another recent beer release that I've had was the Akasha Hopsmith IPA.
Oh, I haven't had the IPA yet.
You haven't had it yet?
No.
Really, really good. Yeah.
Have you tried the pale as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's been that long, we haven't even talked about the pale yet.
Yeah, the pale's, that was really good. Like, really clean hoppy.
It was very clean.
Pale ale.
It had a good amount of sweetness to balance the hops.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite approachable.
So, I mean, I guess we should explain. I'm assuming everyone that listens to this, all five of you, would know that Akasha is Dave Patton's new new digs after leaving Riverside.
Indeed.
But yeah, I was pretty surprised with the pail. I was a bit taken aback when I first got it because I was expecting it to be a lot more hop forward than it actually is.
It wasn't what I was expecting. Yeah. I was certainly expecting something a bit more akin to the 55.
Yeah, yeah. I was expecting a 55 clone to some degree. And the first couple of sips, I was a little bit disappointed because I was expecting a bit more hops. But then as I was like sort of settling through a pint of it, I really started enjoying it.
Yep.
And, yeah, to the point, like I went on my lunch break at work and had a pint and then had to go back to work. And I was like, right after I finished work, I was like, I'm going straight back there to get some more. And in that time, it had gone.
Wow.
So, yeah. And apparently, it was the quickest selling beers at the Forest Lodge ever had on tap.
It really did fly. Yeah. Everywhere it was on, it just flew out.
Yeah.
People were obviously really anticipating, as they should have been, the launch of the new venture. And
yeah. So, I wouldn't say negative feedback. There was a bit of feedback, people saying, oh, it's not hoppy enough.
Yeah. Like, I heard a couple of people say, oh, it's a bit watery, but I think.
I don't think it was watery. I think if you're expecting a 55, you're going to be not disappointed, but you're not going to have that hop fulfillment that
It's funny. I had exactly the same reaction as you did. First couple of sips, I was like, oh, this is really not what I was expecting.
Thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the hops are not as prominent up front.
And, yeah.
But it does have like a cleaner body and it has that nice kind of crisp bitterness in the back.
I think it's a better pale ale than 55. It's just not a hoppier pale ale.
Yeah.
I think it's just a really, really well balanced pale ale. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Dave was telling me that it has more hops in it than 55.
Oh, really?
That doesn't surprise me. It's got a meatier malt bill.
It balances really well.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then came the Hopsmith.
So Hopsmith came out, I think, last week or.
Yeah,
that was right. Last week, yep.
And, it's tasting pretty fucking awesome. It's, so like the freshwater, it's not a straight kind of clone of 77.
Good.
I think
that's a good move.
Yeah. Like, I think
it would have been really easy for them to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a lot cleaner like the freshwater was compared to the 55. Less of a kind of malt sweetness body to it. Really kind of hoppy up front, really hoppy in the back as well. So, yeah, it's a type of IPA that I like to drink. So
I found it dangerously drinkable, actually.
It's very nice.
Now, that same sort of slammable quality that the freshwater did, but just with a bigger hop bill, an obviously bigger hop bill.
I think, I was speaking to Dave about both of the beers, and I think he's really proud of them. I think he's brewing better beers now. I think these are better beers than the 55 and the 77. They're not as hot forwards. So they might not be as popular, but I think he's brewing some amazing beer, and I think he's got even better. So
can't argue with that.
Yeah,
kudos to Dave.
Kudos to Dave. I'm super excited to see his Imperial Amber coming out for Gabs as well.
Yeah, they've done a very good job at creating a hype, actually.
Didn't have to create a hype. Well, Dave Patton's new brewery was enough.
But they sort of trailed the beers a bit, and then. Yeah. They did a very good job of actually getting beers out to lots of venues on the same day for a single big bang.
They got it out to all
release.
The right places, I got to say.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that was good, right? Because that meant that people could, from all areas of the city, go and try it on the day. And,
yeah, most definitely.
The conversation was spreading pretty much from the word go. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, great stuff. Yeah. Any other new beers? I mean, it's been that fucking long. There's been so many beers.
I would like to mention the Stone and Wood Beers of the Earth series.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Did we touch on that in the last episode?
We may have done.
Yeah.
We may have
but
done
we hadn't, it hadn't been released yet, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we foretold that it was coming.
Yeah.
All of them pretty solid beers. I would say I did try them all. Some of them were not that memorable, but the one that really stuck in my mind was the one that I think, I'm sure someone told me it went a bit wrong when they were brewing it and they weren't intending to do an 8.2% IPA, but their American IPA I thought was absolutely sublime, and I was kind of a bit vocal on Twitter urging them to make it a permanent in their range. They need a big IPA in their range.
I'm sure if enough people
range.
Say it, they will do it. Yeah.
And I thought it was fantastic. I had it on three different venues, multiple occasions, and loved it every time I had it. It was really good.
I haven't had it.
Oh, you need to get it.
Where can I get it?
You need to get it.
I know Uncle Hops did have all of them on tap because they did a launch for it.
The Beach Club at Collaroy tweeted yesterday. They just put it on, so get yourself up to Collaroy.
I'm not going
to
get a Collaroy.
fucking get a tent while you're up there, because it'll take you that long to get back.
I had it at Uncle Hop's. That was a while ago now. That was at least a couple of weeks ago, so I'm sure it won't still be on there.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks
ago. There must still be some of the six packs floating around.
Maybe we'll just grab a couple of bottles and just crack it open.
Yeah,
I bought one of the six packs. I haven't cracked yet. Yeah. So, okay.
What would they call it if it's a permanent edition? Would it be the India Pacific?
I don't know.
The Thunder Beer, Thunder
India,
Ale.
India Pacific Ale.
The Thunder Road, not the Thunder Road Ale.
The Thunder Road Ale, yeah, yeah. They'll get away with that.
Perhaps explain what we're alluding to there.
The Thunder Road Brewing.
Yeah.
Company. I mean, what we're talking about is the fact that Thunder Road have released a new beer, which has stirred up the beer nerds on the Twitter sphere quite severely.
Some expert trolling, I thought.
Yeah. So basically, Thunder Road have released an Australian pale ale.
Yep.
They've called it the Pacific Ale.
Thunder Road Pacific Ale.
Yep. Thunder Road Pacific Ale.
Because
and they're
Pacific
claiming
ale
that the
is a style.
Pacific Ale is a style.
Well,
and not a brand.
I don't disagree with that.
I think
like Pacific Pale Ale is what I use to refer to Pacific Ale clones. So
yeah, but you can't
just declare that something is now a style.
I mean, other people have done something similar and done it better with their name. Like,
I mean, I've heard
Anzus,
I guess.
IPAs, yeah. Or Anzus Pale Ales, or
you hear Australian pale ales.
Australian pale ales, yeah.
But I've never heard Pacific ale used as a style. Before.
For me, when I hear the word Pacific and ale, those two words, I think Galaxy Hops and Passion Fruit, and I think Stoner Wood Pacific Ale.
Yeah.
And they're obviously trying to crack into that market of the dominance that is Stoner Wood. So I think it's a bit of a low blow.
Is it in that style though? Like,
I haven't tried the beer. Okay. I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
But not that I refuse to drink it. I just. Do you see Thunder Road beers in Sydney?
Yeah, no, I don't actually. Yeah.
There was a lot of orange on the label I clocked as well, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To the uninitiated, then they could well have mistaken.
Well, I mean, going back to what we're talking about, the beers of the earth thing, I think Stone and Wood, you know, no disrespect to them, but it's an entry-level beer from an entry-level brewery when people are in their craft beer trail. So I think it's a really good move doing stuff like the Beers of the Earth, where they're putting out to people who are not as advanced in their beer journey about what different styles are, and doing them true to style, which they did really well.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean that fact is that people who are shopping for Stone and Pacific Ale might not be as aware as other people about
absolutely
what that is, and so if they see Stone and Pacific Ale, they're going to think, oh, that's going to taste like Stone and Wood. So they're obviously digging at that market. So it's a bit shit.
Mm. They could have been a bit more clever about it.
See on Twitter mentions the fact that Yeasty Boys had not used the word Pacific Ale, but used something similar. Was it with the Pot Kettle Black?
Oh,
or
it was
something?
Like South Pacific Porter.
South Pacific,
or something like that. Yeah.
See, if you use South Pacific Ale, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Yeah.
As I said, they could have been a bit more clever about it. You know, maybe even, you know, spoken to Stone and Wood before actually going ahead and doing it and seeing whether they would have minded creating this new style called Pacific Ale, and you know, but the fact that it was done in the manner in which it was done, I think it's put a lot of people's backs up.
I think the marketing department at Thunder Road probably thought it's going to be this awesome tongue-in-cheek thing, but it didn't fly that way.
There was nothing tongue-in-cheek about it though, really.
It was piss weak. Yeah.
Like they've had, like, you know, their history is they've tried to get these trademarks of, like, you know, name places and stuff, and
Brunswick.
Bitter or whatever it was, and like for them to kind of take the other side and just kind of steal somebody else's
as someone who's had very little Thunder
IP,
Road,
I don't know,
then you know what is their market? What's the Thunder Road market?
I have no idea.
It's the next step up from Carlton.
It's not like, New South Wales, that's for sure.
It's very Melbourne orientated,
right?
And it's like, I think it's the Melbourne faux craft, I think.
Okay.
And this is coming from a person who lives in Sydney, so, like, I can't give a better...
So we're talking a sort of Squires-type level, then?
Yeah, but, like, to be honest, man, like, there was a point where they were trying to crack into the Sydney market, and they brought around a couple of growlers, like professionally sealed growlers for me to try, and the beers weren't shit. They weren't great, but they weren't bad. Like, I've had way worse beers.
I remember... their beer for Gabs 2 years ago. And like, by that point, they'd pretty much just gotten this really bad reputation of brewing just kind of average beers.
Middle
and
of the
just
road
all,
beers.
All marketing and all that. Yeah. And the Gabs beer was actually pretty decent. And a lot of the brewers were saying that as well. Like they were saying, this is a really well-made beer.
Yeah.
And I agreed as well. So they're not bad brewers, but it seems like their marketing seems to be getting in the way of just making good beer.
Yeah, you're right. It reeks to the fact of when marketers tell beer brewers what to make and not the other way around.
Yeah.
It should be brewers brewing a beer and then going to marketing guys and go like, fucking sell it. Like, yeah. And it sort of reeks of that. It seems that the wrong way around.
Seems to be a bit of a hot topic at the moment anyway, doesn't it? The whole IP thing in beer names. It kind of started off in the US a couple of years back.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's spread over here now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to develop an Australian pale ale. That needs to be a recognized style.
And well, it is.
It's recognized on tap.
5 years ago, you would have said it would be Coopers.
It is, because it's Coopers. That's the Australian pale ale. That's what I think.
That's a Australian pale ale, but is it the Australian pale ale?
That's why I think Pacific pale ale should be a style.
I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think Pacific pale ale should be a style, but you don't have to call your beer Pacific pale ale to be in that style.
And that is Pacific pale ale, not Pacific ale.
Yeah,
yes, exactly right. Yeah.
That's the key difference.
Another set of ones I was talking about. We'll take a quick break there and
finish these beers, get some
round of beers.
Yep.
Sessionable.
All right. So, I think as we're waiting for the next round to come out from the lovely bar staff, while we're talking about new beers coming out, I think we're just talking about Moondog. We're sitting here at Bitterfew and they've just recently had a Moondog takeover. And, there's some really exciting beers coming out of Moondog at the moment.
I've always been quite fond of Moondog. I love a brewery that pushes boundaries and does exciting stuff, and ever since I first came across Moondog when I arrived out here, one of their first beers I had was Peter Piper's pickled pepper purple porter thing.
I'm sure right now, like across the equator in Germany, there's Tom's is like in some of the beauty exam going like, it's this, because he was like so proud of the fact he could reclaim that. Yeah.
But that knocked my block off, and the Perverse Sexual Amalgam, which was around at the time as well,
PSA
still
is really good.
One of my favorite Aussie sours.
So, yeah, well, I mean, like they're doing like a, I don't think I've called it as such, but it seems to be like a cocktail series is the new theme at the moment.
Yeah, okay. So they've got the Bloody Mary.
The Breakfast of Champions, which is the Bloody Mary one. And then the next one coming out, I forget the name, but it's basically an old-fashioned.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it's actually a gift pack of two different beers.
Okay.
And so one part of it is like the citrus element. Yeah. The other part would be like the bourbon element, and you blend the two beers together to make the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one's like a bourbon barrel-aged something or other.
Yeah. But the bit that makes it so much better is on each of the labels is like Tom Cruise and Old Mate from the movie Cocktail.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. What a great movie that is.
Yeah. So it's coming out as a twin pack gift pack. I think it's out in Melbourne, but not out in Sydney at the moment.
I think there's a lot of space for experimentation. In every thriving beer scene, and, you know, these guys do it as well as any.
Yeah. I mean, it's the type of thing where, when people come to my shop, they're always like, oh, is there any new Moondog beers? I'm like, oh, here's this and this. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't always like him, but every time Moondog releases a beer, I have to get it. I think no matter what they do, you need to sort of stand up and go, oh shit, what's this? What's going on?
I mean, for me, it's very exciting. Like, they're willing to take a risk that people will hate their beers. You know, it could work out, it could not work out, but, you know, they're crazy enough to try this different stuff, and it's I think it's pretty important for that.
Out of the eight or so that are on here, I think still for me, the Mr. Mistopheles was the winner.
Which one's Mr. Mistopheles?
It's like a mango sour.
The mango wild ale.
Mango wild ale.
I agree with that.
Well, I've got the watermelon as my palate cleanser at the moment.
The Beyond Boogie. That's a really good beer. Yeah. It's kind of like watermelon warhead without the tartness.
Yeah. A lot of people it's the watermelon warhead that you can get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. That's why I like it. It's different.
It's not trying to be watermelon warhead, but it's different, but it's the same as well.
It's kind of my watermelon warhead fix.
Yeah.
Sessionable.
Should we talk about this second beer?
Yeah, so our next beer is out. Thanks, Ben.
I'm struggling more than I thought I would with identifying these.
So this has a quite a prominent, I'd say a malt sweetness, but it's not a caramel malt sweetness.
No, it's just not like toffee, it's just malt.
It's so, just we put so much fucking malt in this beer that you're gonna fucking taste it.
So let's just go over again what we've got. So we're pretty much sure
the first one's Bling Bling. So
the remaining ones are
Millennium Falcon, 777.
Yep.
And what was the last one?
Imperial Winston.
I'm leaning towards Imp Winston.
Okay. Personally. I'm leaning towards 777.
Ooh.
I am actually between the Winston and the Falcon. It's not sweet and malty enough to be the Falcon for me.
That's what I thought.
And it's not abrasive and hoppy enough
to be the Imp.
To be the Imperial Winston. So I'm caught between a rock and a hard place here.
So it's 777.
It could be 777. I'm not going to rule that out. It's tasting fresh.
Don't let me influence you, though.
It's certainly tasting fresh. I don't think it's the Falcon. I had that.
Well, I haven't had this batch of Falcons. That's why I was leaning towards the Falcon. Mate. Yeah. So you're saying that like this is definitely not the Falcon.
It could well be Imperial Winston six weeks after.
It could be the Falcon. I don't know.
And the hops have just settled down a little bit.
I'm going to say Winston.
Okay. I'm going to nail my...
So you guys
sing to the post and say Imperial Winston as well.
Yeah. Right. I'm saying 777.
Saying 777?
Yeah. Okay.
So
it's a great Imperial IPA, by the way. I just want to say
whatever it is, it's fucking glorious.
Absolutely
hits
the spot for me. Really does.
So instead of talking about our misadventures at Good Beer Week last year. So why don't we talk about this year's Good Beer Week and what are you guys doing? What are you guys looking forward to? Shit like that.
Yeah, so I'm doing a bit of a reverse Good Beer Week, so I'm coming in super early. Like I'm flying into Melbourne on Sunday, okay. So like right at the start of Good Beer Week. But I'm not doing Gabs in Melbourne for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah,
controversial.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been to every single Gabs at the Royal Exhibition.
Yeah. So have I actually. I think. Yeah.
So yeah, for the first time, I'm not doing Gabs in Melbourne. Due to other commitments, but so things that I'm really looking forward to. This is the first time I'm doing a Brewers and Chewers. I've got tickets to Brewers and Chewers.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'm going as well.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So it's the first time I'm doing a Brewers and Chewers.
You've never done one in Sydney either?
No, never. Never done a Brewers and Chewers. So that's something I'm pretty keen on because that seems pretty legit.
Yeah.
What else? I've never been one to go to heaps of events. I've always just been one to just take in the vibe, the marbo of it all.
Spoken a true Melbournean there.
Yeah. It's just so, just that little shit. Maybe Beer Deluxe has a fucking, hand pump Imperial Stout bar that he's going to chuck up.
Yep.
All those little things is what I really like about Good Beer Week. So, I try not to tie myself down with too many events.
Yep.
One event I've missed out on, which I'm really fucking kicking myself with, is the Forgotten Worlds one.
Oh, the arcade lock-in?
Yeah, I'm going to that.
Yeah.
It sold out, so I couldn't get a ticket to that because that's something I was really keen to do.
Yeah, so that one's
I think I might just go there an hour beforehand and just maybe hide in the bathroom or something.
Which event are you guys recording at?
That's
a good question.
Are we recording?
Speaking of which, the other thing I'm really looking forward to is just the whole experience at pop-up thing.
Yeah, we might do a couple of ad hoc recordings there, depending on if we're there now,
they're going to be really shit quality and Adrian and I are going to be really
It's going to be really loose.
Yeah. Okay, every other sessionable episode then. Sounds perfect.
Even more so.
Imagine a sessionable episode, but you just fast forward 45 minutes and then start playing then. That's what it's
gonna
be like, pretty much.
So the event that Liam and I were talking about was the Forgotten Worlds arcade lock-in where they're partnering with Redwood to do Lost Coast beers, and they're gonna do free play for all their arcade machines for the whole night.
So I don't know if you know, Brad, but when I was growing up in Australia, Time Zone was the shit. Time Zone was the arcade chain and every supermarket.
Okay.
Every shopping center, there was a Time Zone.
Right.
Right next to where the Grand Union Cinema would be. And it'd be the arcade thing.
Okay.
And during school holidays, I had things with Super Sessions where you'd go for 3 hours flat rate and everything was free play.
That was the best. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is tapping into that whole my childhood nostalgia of free play arcade games where everything's for free and you just get really hyped on fucking sugary things, and then like just run around for a madman for 3 hours playing as many arcade games as you can.
Except this time with
this
beer.
Time beer, right?
Yeah.
So
there's also a
There's a Street Fighter tournament.
There's a Street Fighter 2 tournament as well.
Oh man.
And I've been going to Spooning Goats a couple of times just to train up. And I just remembered how bad I was at Street Fighter.
But you just keep in mind that there's going to be like one or two guys who are like fucking guns who have like those arcade sticks at home for their PS4s.
The hori sticks.
Everyone else is going to be the same level as you. Everyone else is going to be like, oh shit, how do you do a Duken again?
Yep.
Up, down, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be awesome.
Everyone's going to be picking Ken and Ryu though. So
but I think any Street Fighter tournament has to have a no Ken and Ryu rule. Like that's the way I've
decided not to pick Ken or Ryu, even though I'm like the best
at
those.
What are you going
to
do?
I think I'm going to do Guile.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good pick.
He has that sweep kick where he does it like
that
a single,
fucks people's
like
up,
a single sweep and then a longer sweep in the second one. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that'll
it
get
fucks
it.
Me up when I play against him. So yeah, what are the other things you're going to, Liam? You're doing, Good Beer Weedy, aren't you?
Yeah. So, for the first time, I'm making my pilgrimage. Well, not the first time I'm going to the Weedy, but it's the first time I'm making my pilgrimage to the Weedy during Good Beer Weedy.
Yep.
So, I'm going in on Thursday and super fucking excited about got tickets to the only ticket event for Good Beer Weedy is the Jester King takeover. So nice. I'm literally flying in at 2 o'clock. I'm going to probably like load myself up with like my hotel room with like Munchables.
Yep.
And then I'm just going to go to the Weedy.
Yep.
Get absolutely
fuck.
Responsibly drunk. On Jester King.
I hate that you told me about that because I didn't know about that until now and I was pretty like, okay with missing out on Good Beer Weedy.
Yeah, no. Jester King Tap Takeover, man.
But now I hate you.
That's on the Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. So I'm literally flying in Thursday.
Nice.
And then, I've booked like the most shithole of sleaziest hotels in Chinatown in Adelaide, so you know it's going to be classy.
Nice.
But,
look, great, like, great late night food.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I literally think, if I'm in my hotel room and I'm like in the shower or passed out, then I'm not going to
You're winning,
doing it right.
You're winning,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. So, yeah. So, basically, yeah. So, Weed Chief on Thursday doing a Jester King Tap Takeover. I think the Friday is a Beaverton and Birro del Borgo night.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm missing is on the Sunday, there's a Doctor's Orders night, but I've got to fly out earlier on the Sunday, so I'm thinking I'm going to miss that one, which is unfortunate.
Damn.
Should we delve a little bit more into Gabs?
Yeah. I think you guys kind of went into it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Melbourne.
Episode.
Right?
Yep.
I'm going to do Melbourne. And I'm also planning
Melbourne's
on doing.
Melbourne's going to do you too.
Yeah. It will.
In Soviet Russia.
It punished me last year. But yeah, planning on doing probably, if not all sessions, then 4 of the 5 sessions down in Melbourne and probably the day session in Sydney as well when we come back. I know I hop back onto my, time in the UK quite a bit, back in the old dart, but one of the things that helped me get into beer when I was younger was that there was such a formidable festival scene in the UK. If you imagine every district, the UK equivalent has its own branch of CAMRA, the Campaign for Real Ale, and every single one of those branches hosts their own beer festival. So over the course of a year, there's actually hundreds of beer festivals to attend. Within,
and they're all within
England.
Like a 2 hour, a lot of them would be like within an hour or 2 hour drive to you, right?
A fair amount. If you increase that to 3 hours, then you're probably saying half of England I could cover from London, right? So at my peak, I was probably going to about one a month.
Nice.
All over the UK. Well, all over
Were you getting the sort of thing where we're experiencing here now, where you get sort of the same beers at every beer festival?
That's what I'm saying, you know. With the UK, there was a lot of repetition. You'd see the same beers appearing at festivals.
Same breweries,
you would get some localization as well. So you'd get beer festivals that would specialize in their own local beers.
Yeah,
and that was always, you know,
exciting,
a draw.
Yeah.
But what would really excite you would be beer festivals that had festival specials where they would persuade breweries to brew beer, especially for the festival. And that's because even back then I was getting really quite into my beer and, you know, was chasing the new beers. And that's what I think Gabs do really well. You know, the whole festival scene isn't such a big thing here. Okay, yeah, you might have Warner's on the Bear. You might have the Australian Hotel does an annual beer festival here as well. But beer festivals aren't a big thing in Australia in the same way. Most of your drinking is going to be done from your local bottler or you know, at your favourite bars in town. There's not such a whole festival scene. But I think Gabs does it really, really well. And the way that it does it well is that, you know, with all of these festival specials that they do, so we've got 120, I think, this year.
Minus some scratchings.
That will attract your hardcore beer nerd who will go there because they know and the festival specials they managed to get the top tier as well of Australia and
well,
further afield as well.
It's not even just Australia anymore. Yeah, like, saying, last year had, like, the spokes of, like, Nugna-O, like, Sierra Nevada even, like,
this year we've
pretty,
got
like Rogue. That's some pretty big caliber beers.
This year we've got Thornbridge doing one as well from
really?
The UK.
Thornbridge
did
one last year as well. Yeah.
And we've got Yeasty Boys doing another one as well. They're not Kettle Black. Did you spot that one?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what?
So have you heard about
that happy accident?
So I have. I haven't actually looked through any of the festival list at all.
So I think we'll probably this will lead on to the next segment, which is beers at Gabs that we all really want to try.
Yeah.
So the Not Kettle Black, according to the description, is a fucked up version of Pot Kettle Black.
Oh, no way. They were talking about this.
And then they put it into
port barrels, I think it was?
I think it's in port barrels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been barrel aging for like maybe 2 years. I don't quote me on that, but the beer has existed for quite a while.
They were talking about that like a while ago, and I was like, oh yeah, it's a shame that we'll never say that because it sounds very interesting. But
I think they've had this plan for a Gabs beer for quite some
time.
But yeah,
I'm so excited.
Breweries are actually thinking that far in advance about what they're going to do for this now yearly event that has caused a lot of excitement.
Yeah, it definitely falls into a brewer's brewery plan for the year, man. Like,
it's great. Before we get too heavily into the individual beers in Gabs, if I could just finish my point, right?
Yeah, sorry, man.
And that is that Gabs, they're great at exciting the beer nerds like us, right? You know, they've got us salivating over some of the top-end breweries that are brewing special beers. Okay. They're sold as one-offs. We know for a fact that you can probably get most of them again because
it's a launching batch.
The batches that run, you know, that you're going to see them again. And if they're particularly successful, they're going to keep brewing them because why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, of course.
But also they do a great job of attracting the new beer drinker, right? So in Melbourne in particular last year, that hall was full of beer lovers and people who'd never really touched a beer in their lives either. You know,
it was beer lovers bringing their friends who aren't necessarily beer people.
Bringing them to the party, right?
Which
bringing them
great.
To the party.
Yeah.
And that's when some of the special beer styles, you know, the beer mimics food stuff, you know, the key lime pie flavoured beers and the chocolatey stuff. And, you know, that's many people who just come to Gabs with somebody who loves their beer, try this and think, wow, not only does this not taste like Tui's New, it doesn't actually taste like beer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a real, you know, and there's epiphany moments happening all over the place. And I think Gabs has done a great job of actually appealing to both ends of the spectrum all at the same time.
I think
time.
What they've done really well last year and this year as well is how they've graded the beers into three different scales.
Yep.
I think there's like a beginner's, expert, and
sessionable.
All right, guys, so we're back. We've got the third beer in front of us, and I got to say, I think this has thrown a spanner into the works.
It really has.
I think we were very cocksteady with the first two beers.
Yeah.
But
this has really, really made me question myself.
Yeah.
We were so confident.
We took a break, and we went to the bar, and Ben, the bartender, was asking us what we thought our picks were, and he had a very, very smirk grin on his face as we told him what we thought the beers were. And he knows we fucked up all of these beers. I don't think we got anything right. I think this beer is proving it, but
I'm gonna retract my beer number one.
Okay.
I don't think that was Bling Bling anymore. Okay. I think what we're drinking now is Bling Bling. It's got even more toffee, even more malty.
Mm. Yeah, I
think the thing that tipped us all on the first one was the it wasn't super fresh.
It wasn't super fresh,
and it just made sense.
Yeah.
For that to be,
but it could have been Winston because that was 3 months old.
Oh,
so, I'm gonna say the first one was Winston.
So you're retracting your offer as well?
No!
You're saying number one was
Winston. I'm gonna wait for number four.
See, I'm actually thinking number one might have been 777.
Are we allowed to retract? Is that?
Well, yeah.
I guess
you
so.
You've got to make your decision at number four, right?
I guess so, yeah. What's,
We got a bit cocky.
Least, okay, so, okay, all right, number four's in front of us.
Horribly wrong.
Number four's in front of us.
Do you guys want number four as well?
Yeah, let's get number four. Okay. Let's get number four as well.
Oh, yeah. Now we are cheating then, okay. We're gonna double up, okay.
Because we're all so cocksteady and we all realize we fucked up big time, so.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You think that's 777?
No, that's Millennium Falcon.
You think that's Millennium? Ah, see, I haven't had this Millennium, so.
No? You don't agree?
It's not Millennium.
What do you think?
I think number two was Millennium.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I was, yeah.
So what do you think this is?
Whatever this third beer is, it's tasting.
Do you think this
awesome.
Is 777?
This third beer is tasting really good.
I think it's either 777 or Millennium, this one. I think it's Millennium.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought I was going to find this so easy.
All right, so I'm going to...
I was very confident in the fact that I was going to fuck this up because I haven't had any of these beers for a long, long time. I'm going to stand by my original standing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, fuck, what was my original standing? I think this third beer is 777. I'm going to put the fourth beer as Millennium.
You think number three is 777?
Yeah.
Okay. And the fourth one's Millennium. I'm going to revise my not very confident tips to number one, Imperial Winston.
Yep.
Number two, 777, which is my original pick. Number three, Bling Bling.
Bling Bling.
Number four, Millennium Falcon.
Okay, I'm going to go number one, 777.
Okay.
Number two, Millennium Falcon. Number three, Bling Bling. Number four, Imperial Winston.
Wow, you reckon that's holding up that well, Imp Winston?
Yep.
I think he's right. But for the sake of difference, I will stand by my original judgment,
which was
number one, Bling Bling. Number two,
you said Imperial Winston.
No.
Number two, Imperial Winston. Yeah. Number three, 777. Number four, Millennium Falcon. But I think I've got the last two mixed up. But I think I'll fuck up the whole thing, to be honest. But yeah,
I think what we've proved so far.
I think the first one was decidedly different to the first one just because of the age factor. Besides that, so it's a bit unfair to judge that beer where we're having it now because it's obviously not at its peak.
Yeah.
But the other three beers are all tasting superb.
Well, what I would say, if number three is 777, you know, coming from number six, Hottest 100, that has died a death in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I thought number three was tasting a bit old as well.
Yeah. 777 is, it's not as fresh as Millennium Falcon, though.
Mm.
It's been out for about 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
That tastes older than a 3 or 4 week beer.
What, the latest one?
The third one. The third one.
The third one.
The third one tastes the oldest to me.
I still think the first one was a lot older than the third one. This has got a lot more hot presence.
Really? Amazing, isn't it?
What we've learned today already is we don't know shit.
Yeah. It's really easy to confuse beer nerds.
Oh, God damn it.
When it comes
I'm going to get zero for four.
And it's really easy to confuse.
I think I'm going to get zero for four from this one. I'm fairly confident I've got none of these right. But I don't care because these have all been some pretty awesome
I'm going to give myself 2 out of 4.
You think you got halfway there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm hoping for 2.
Yeah, I wasn't coming into this because I haven't had any of these beers for a long time.
I did win the blind tasting with doctor's orders. I'll just put that out there as well.
I would say, whatever, I don't give a shit. These beers are tasting pretty good. There's some good beers.
They're all really fucking solid. Yeah.
It's proving what we set out to prove at the beginning of the episode is that, you know, the Australian double IPA industry is in great shape at the moment.
And there's some honorable mentions that we didn't get today.
Oh, yeah.
Really for the fact that we couldn't.
Yeah,
we really wanted to get our hands on some Aftermath, some Kaiju Aftermath.
Yeah, some Death Between the Tanks.
But impossible to get hold of.
Death Between the Tanks we could have got, we're just all really lazy.
Yeah.
But we
could have had Hoppinator.
Yeah.
As another
Hoppinator has been tasting really good. But, like, you know, they'll be doubling the Holgate, so.
It would have been.
Yeah.
If timing was correct, we could have fit in with Tusk.
Yeah, Tusk was really good.
Although, on a bottle, that might have been hard.
I don't think it's ever been in the bottle. No. It's never been in the bottle. But
could have gotten a can of it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of many great Australian double IPAs that we could have had. But,
And a lot of people put it right up there, right? As one of the.
Tusk.
Yeah, it's one of the best beers of the year.
It's really good. I actually
solid beer.
I actually prefer
a little bit variable. I thought the last Tusk was fantastic. the one before not so good?
I actually prefer the feral cat, which was like the kind of in between the hop hog and
I'd forgotten about that.
And the and the
I don't
tusk.
Know if I've ever had the cat.
It's like they're 7-point-something% American IPA.
I did try it.
It's
yeah.
really fucking good.
I don't think it would have quite made it into our double.
I mean, like we're kind of concentrating on like the, you know, 8-10% plus range.
Percentile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've changed my mind actually.
Nah, you only get one redo.
Nah, okay.
Everyone had their redo.
Fine.
Oh shit.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Millennium Falcon.
So before we take a break and find out the results.
Yep.
Let's sum up our final thoughts about this beer.
Okay, Jerry.
These beers.
Age aside, these are all some really solid beers.
Yeah. I mean, like
having number one in a fresh estate, and to some degree number three to a fresh estate, possibly.
Could have well changed our opinion.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So what were the final thoughts?
For me, Brad, the final thoughts were 2 and 4 were the freshest beers we had tonight.
Yep, I agree.
And as a result, they stood out as the better beers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That said, they weren't the hoppiest beers I've ever had. Which made this whole exercise a lot more tricky.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So, okay.
Final thought.
For me,
three words.
For me, double IPAs aren't all about hops. It's about the malts. It's like, that's what makes a double IPA. It's that fucking malt base. And, yeah, there's been some very solid beers here.
I tend to disagree. I like more hoppy double IPAs.
Yeah. I mean, who the hell buys double IPAs for the malts?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. The malts to balance it.
you do, but when they're fresh,
I just
want to like be overwhelmed.
I buy double IPAs to be punched in the face.
Yeah,
fresh hops, right? And we're now at the point where we're getting spoiled by stone imports that are, you know, super fresh and
This
is the sort of level that our Australian double IPAs
are. It's a new benchmark.
You want to hear my thoughts on the stone beers?
Yeah, I do want to hear your thoughts on the stone beers.
They're tasting really nice.
Yeah.
I've had them in California when they're like, you know, a week old. Completely different.
Yeah.
So it's like having what we're having. Like when you had Winston first, when you had Bling Bling first, when you had 777.
But unless
and Millennium Falcon first. They were fucking good, but now they're fucking good, but in a different way.
Yeah, I agree. I think the whole idea is I don't know if I've had stone beers in the States super, super fresh, but I've had other beers in the States super fresh and had them here. And the whole thing is, like, if you want to drink double IPAs, you should drink Australian double IPAs because you're going to get them in a way better state. Like you said, even a fucking Bling Bling that's been on the shelf for a couple of weeks is going to be way fresher than any stone that's going to come over. No bad mouth in stone there because the beers are coming over ultimate condition.
Oh,
they're coming over
dude,
at a very,
yeah.
very good point.
It's the best you can get them.
What it says to me is, unless you're keeping your ear to the ground and know exactly when beers are coming out so that you can get yourself down to the bar or get yourself to the bottle shop, as soon as that delivery comes in, you're not going to be getting these beers as fresh as 1 week, 2 weeks old. You know, you have to know what's coming and
that
I think
it'd
be rare to get a Australian double IPA as fresh as
unless
like
it's a big release, right?
That is one of the issues.
Winston,
and
which was a landmark release, right? We all raced there to get it, right?
Yeah, but those kegs were probably sitting in that venue for 2-3 days before they tapped it as well, in order to make sure everyone got their kegs in the right time.
Yeah, like, but that's still a week, right?
I agree.
And, like, even in the US, you get that issue as well. Like, you know, you get IPAs, you get double IPAs, you get triple IPAs or whatever they are. And they're not necessarily going to be on tap straight away or sell straight away. And, you know, it'll age.
So here's a question then. Are there some big, massive IPAs that fare better with time than others?
If freshness is your thing, you have to go for tusks because you know you're going
to
get a fresh
one beer that comes to my mind, and every time I've had it, I've been blown away by it, is the Omnipollo beer that I can't pronounce, the one beginning with N.
The Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, that one. Has always tasted amazing. I've had it on tap in the UK. I've had it over here from a bottle. And I always get blown away by the wonderful flavours that come from that IPA. It may be that I've only ever had it old, right?
Okay, so that's a pretty huge beer that has a lot of
Yeah, it's a big
like,
beer.
It's like a massive percentage beer. It has a lot of malt in it. I don't think I've ever had it fresh, but it's a fucking tasty beer. But I think it's a tasty beer because it has that kind of last ability.
It's almost virgin barley wine in terms of its content.
And that there is this, you know, there is room for that kind of IPA. Like, I'm not saying every IPA should be fresh. I prefer double IPAs to be fresh, but you can make a double IPA that is not meant to be drunk fresh and still succeed.
Okay. Before we get Ben out here to put us out of our misery.
Yeah.
Do we have any recommendations? I'll tell you mine straight up.
Go
to Gabs.
Go to Gabs.
If you're in Sydney, go to Sydney Gabs. If you're in Melbourne, go to Melbourne Gabs.
I agree.
If you're in Adelaide, go to Melbourne Gabs. If you're in Brisbane, go to Sydney Gabs. Make sure you get along to Gabs because it's as good as you think it's going to be.
Gabs is fucking awesome.
I think we need to, I've said it before, but we need to support Sydney as a Gabs venue because we need to make sure that next year Gabs has five sessions in Sydney because
I almost hope that Sydney's going to be horribly overcrowded and massively oversubscribed. Because even though
I would hate it, but even though I wouldn't be angry because I mean, like, well, next year
it just proves that you need to pay as much attention to Sydney as you do to Melbourne.
Yeah,
next year.
Have you guys been to Australia Technology Park?
Never.
I've been to Carriage Works, but I haven't been to ATP.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. It's like a really cool space.
Is it a big space?
It's a huge space. Yeah, yeah. So it's like it's a huge enough space for Gabs, but. Yeah, it's a really cool space. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like Carriage Works, but like an alternate universe Carriage Works.
Looking forward to
the other side of the tracks.
It's bigger.
It's literally on the wrong side of the tracks.
It's definitely. Maybe in the right side of the tracks. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, but, I think you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, like Carriage Works is fucking amazing. I love Carriage Works, but it's like a huge Carriage Works kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I just like to say, hope it's busy so they're persuaded to do more next year.
Part of me doesn't hope it's going to be busy because it's my only chance to go to Gabs this year.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to.
Okay. And you need to get through a lot, right? You don't want to be spending time at the bar.
But if it is busy, I'm not going to be cranky because I live on it next year. It's going to be cracking.
Was it either the opening or closing party of Sydney Craft Beer Week? Was it Carriage Works last year? Did he?
No, they had Sip and Savor at Carriage Works.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was Super Nova last year, yeah.
All right, well, we've been talking for like an hour and a half, so we need to...
We're not going to hear Adrian's recommendation?
Oh, sorry. Oh,
did you recommend anything, William?
Sorry, I'm just jumping ahead. Adrian, please.
Adrian's recommendation, Camaray Craft again.
So we usually do beer recommendation, non-beer recommendation. That's your beer recommendation, I'm guessing, Brad.
I've not got a non-one.
Okay. Cool.
So we're just doing a recommendation, I think.
I guess so. If you want to, go for it. So my beer recommendation, even though I probably got it wrong in this blind tasting, is the Holgate Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
I was very critical of it a couple of years ago, or whenever it first came out. I didn't think it was very good. I think they've nailed it this year. I think
it's splendid.
I think it's one of the best.
And the more
beers
I drink of this fourth beer, the more I think it might be that beer.
I think it's one of the best.
Uber orange is how
Australia.
I would described it.
Yeah.
Uber
it's
orange.
Really fucking good.
Well, this fourth beer definitely has some Fanta aspects going on. Yeah.
So yeah, I recommend that for my beer recommendation. For my non-beer recommendation, I've started doing a creative writing course.
And oh, really?
One of the required readings was To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee.
Nice. Yeah.
Which I first read for the first time only 5 years ago, but I've just reread it and it's still a fucking amazing book. And, you know, if you like novels, if you like reading, highly recommend that book.
Cool.
Liam, what's your recommendation?
You know, I'm getting very excited with the week coming ahead, as I described. So my beer recommendation is visit the Weedy. I think I've probably said it before, but
we've said it many times before.
Yeah. Hands down, my favorite beer bar in Australia. Probably my favorite pub in Australia.
In Australia?
Yeah. Hands down. My non-beer recommendation. I've been doing a lot of sous vide cooking lately.
Oh.
So I picked myself up one of those. It's called an Anova. It's like a circulator. It's a fairly inexpensive, like $200-$300 circulator.
I've been told about this one.
Yeah, get it. It's fucking cool. Yeah. I've been sous vide steaks like a motherfucker.
So, where do you get your vacuum sealers? Is that a separate thing? Or?
Oh, yeah, you can get the vacuum sealers. You don't even need them, man. You just use Ziploc bags.
Oh, really? Okay.
Bang. Like, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, what the fuck are we talking about here?
We're talking about, like, a cooking technique of, like, water baths.
Yeah, so it's, like, okay. very low. Like, it's not really high temperature. It's low temperature. You kind of do it for a lot longer.
Right? It's like slow cooking, but in a water bath. Yeah. So you temperature control the water and the circulation of the water.
It's not in contact with the meat. It's like,
yeah.
You kind of isolate the meat in a either
vacuum seal bag vacuum or seal, I just use like Ziploc bags.
Or a Ziploc bag.
And
then you just do it in like a constant low temperature for a long time.
So I've been sous vide-ing like a motherfucker. So lamb chop sous vide. Pre and post sear. Let's get all technical. Yeah. I've been like cooking up a storm. It's a rad thing to do because it's the type of thing where you can get up in the morning and set something up to have for dinner that night and just like, you know, before you go to work, set it up and have it cooking. Then when you come home.
I guess it's good to not have to worry about the place burning down.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a water bath. So like fire's going to put itself out, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But, so it's cool. Yeah. So I've been sous vide-ing a lot. So. Get into it. There's a couple of different brands you can get to like get into some cheap ones and do that. Yeah.
Sessionable.
So I think it's about time. We're looking at the wrap up stage now.
Ooh.
But before we do, we have a special guest here to put us out of our misery and prove how shit we all are. So young
drinking
man.
Drinking in the dark.
Can you tell us the order of the beers which you drank tonight?
All right. So number one was Imperial Winston.
Shit. Ooh. No one got that.
No way.
Number two was Millennium Falcon.
I think I said that. One for me. Yeah.
Number three was Bling Bling.
Yeah. And another one.
And
another
number
one.
Four was 777. How'd we all go?
Really shit.
Two out of four.
Really shit.
Two out of four.
Pretty sure I got everything wrong, but that's just me. But I wasn't confident coming into the matter, so yeah.
I wanted to change it to that, but... They didn't allow me.
So. We were all so convinced the first one was Bling Bling.
Yeah.
Until we had number three.
Yeah, until number three. Not being able to see the colour makes a big
difference,
I think.
Well, yeah, it's quite hard drinking in the twilight, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So our record of doing really shit blind tastings continues.
Yeah. Continues, yeah.
I think we should do this again sometime. Yeah. Like,
people love it, right?
This
people
is
love
fun.
Us getting it wrong.
I don't like getting it wrong. I got that pretty wrong. I want to say, Adrian was very, very confident when that third beer came out that was Bling Bling. Very confident.
Was I?
No, I don't think he was.
I'm going to listen back to this. I don't know.
I think you'll find it was me.
Oh, someone was very confident. I'm very confident that I got everything wrong. That's what I'm confident about.
I'm pretty sure I got everything
wrong.
Yeah,
I got two out of four.
Was there, which beer? Which beer
the
we decided
beer?
Was the best?
Sorry. What were they again? Number one.
So for me, two and four were the best.
Yeah, two and four we thought were the freshest, right?
So 777 and Millennium Falcon.
But okay. I got them mixed up.
I preferred number two.
I actually preferred
number two.
Yeah. There we go.
It was close. I mean, number four really grew on me as I had more of it. But number two probably I was most impressed with.
What was your verdict, Liam?
I think. Millennium Falcon's tasting fucking awesome. And Millennium Falcon hasn't always been my favorite double IPA, but that's fucking cracking.
I openly said when it first came out a couple of years ago that it wasn't really shit, but it was like it's way too malty, way too sweet. It was just not fun to drink at all. And this year when it came out, I was like, yeah, I guess I'll try it. And it came out.
That was banging, man.
And it came out, and I was like, fuck yes. That's fucking good.
Well, I've got a Canimal and a bottle of it sat in my fridge at home. So,
you beast.
I'll be tucking into those sooner rather than later based on tonight's.
How much is
results.
A Canimal of a Millennium Falcon, by the way?
Well, two schooners worth. So we're talking probably, what, $26?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's not bad at all. All right. So I think it's probably time to wrap this up. We've drunkenly talked a lot enough.
Yeah, I think so.
This should keep Tom happy, I think. What do you reckon?
You could get three episodes out of this, right?
I reckon, yeah.
Well, four beers are four episodes, yeah.
So, so you can find us at Sessional Pod on Twitter. I'm personally at Adrian Poor.
I'm the Beer Lebowski.
And I'm at The Double.
And we're seeing at the Bit of Few. So does Bit of Few have a Twitter handle?
Yeah, at Bit of Few.
Yeah, just at Bit of Few for Bit of Few. You can find us on Facebook as well, at Bit of Few.
Got to say, a bit of a plug, shameless plug, but if you're ever in Sydney and you're not from Sydney, fucking get a Bit of Few.
Yeah. So they have their dark beer kind of takeover thing coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So we've got 6 black beers coming up on the 6th of June. All going to be black, all going to be quite highly alcoholic. We're talking 8 or 9 plus, and we'll have 6 beers for your inviting pleasure. Welcoming winter the good way.
Fuck yeah.
Might have to clear the diary for that one.
All right, guys, so I think we'll call it a night.
Just unsubscribe now.
We don't know shit.